If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's up, you guys? Welcome to Fightful. It is April 16, 2025. I am Sean Ross Sapp. It is WrestleMania week. It is, I don't know what they called the show. Spring Breakout? Is that it? Spring Breakout. Spring Break-ish? Whatever the hell it was.
Spring Breakthrough.
Either way, it was an all-time AEW show, my opinion. Fantastic. Loaded show. They took to heart this situation, this passing Nitro. Mm-hmm. They got into WrestleMania week and they say, we're not punting, not us. And we have a phenomenal show to talk about tonight. Leave a thumbs up, get those super chats and humper chats in. The AEW Nick Khan comments were a big subject today, not only on my show. I saw it aggregated a lot. Like, what I don't like, If you're ever an aggregator, what I don't like is like what a lot of accounts do with Meltzer, where they'll broadcast his opinion and quote it. I'm like, that's just for the show. But today I didn't much mind it, because throughout the process, I predicted, if you go back and watch, what would happen. After those Nick Khan comments aired, I said, well, that's awfully hypocritical. WWE does that. I hate it when AEW does that. And I knew what would happen, and I said this on the show. I said, you would see people go, well, Natalya was on SmackDown last week. Like, oh, great. Her spot was cut for time in the middle of the match, literally as they were in the ring. She is working NWA. How desperate do you got to be? And then I knew that people would say, well, you never criticize AEW that way. And anybody who watches this show knows the complete opposite of that. For the very reason, parking people for a year at a time.
Yeah.
I even had one person go, well, you said about Rey Fénix. Yeah, you mean the guy who actively negotiated another deal, like with 4 or 5 months left on his deal? No, I mean like Ricky Starks, who asked them to not pick up his option. And then they did, and then they didn't use them. That's weird. I'm talking like Scorpio Sky. 3 years in. 3 years in, they've wasted this guy's career.
Yep.
Come on. There are so many things like that I look at. And these people, as I haven't even introduced my co-host yet, Alex Pawlowski, who, listen, he's not going to be sour today. I'm not going to be sour about this show. But I guarantee you what you're going to see now. If I levy a criticism about WWE WrestleMania on Saturday or Sunday. Well, you didn't seem to hate that AEW show last week. No shit, Sherlock. It's subjective entertainment. It varies from week to week.
But in fairness, Triple H said we're not allowed to be critics, just fans. Oh, so we're not supposed to have opinions, Sean, which means you and I, unfortunately, are out of a job.
They want robots. That's what they want. They want robots that echo
report the things that happened on the show without any clarification or analysis. Just saying what happened and saying it's great, no matter what it is. That's a thing we should be doing.
Yeah. consume product and enjoy product, get ready and get excited for next product, unless it's AEW, and then we're not allowed to enjoy it, apparently. Like, true. That's the thing. So
right.
I'm like, and I gave a full list of the things just off the top of my head that I had criticized AEW about. You can't listen to a Sean Ross Sapp AEW pay-per-view review without me saying, let's cut the matches down by about three. Let's apply some of those to Collision and Dynamite. Let's add women's tag titles before a fifth women's singles title. Not that I have a problem with that many women's singles titles. You know, let's actually use some of this talent that isn't being used. Let's not give people title shots off of losses, which, again, I want to say Gates of Agony had won like three or four in a row. Very happy about that. Let's use ROH a little bit more. Let's implement that a little bit more. Tony Khan, when you're on medias or pressers, we don't need the full rundown of the history of every match that somebody's asking about. We don't need that. That's not getting transcribed, just so you all know. Smooth past that. Narrow down the time of your press conferences. Any number of those things. But there will still be people that act like, oh my God, he pointed out something hypocritical that somebody in WWE said he hates them. I've been to eight times as many WWE shows the last 3 years as I have AEW shows. Like, I don't know what to tell you guys. Just because I'm not there this week, because I didn't want to drive to Louisville, fly to Las Vegas without Wi-Fi for 5 hours, and then do it again. Listen, I was pleasantly surprised by the reaction to that clip today that again, got clipped and all that stuff. But it was, I just knew there'd be some weirdos as well. But Alex, we got Mod Revolve saying, please tell me Michael Oku is All Elite. Well, he did work the ROH tapings.
He did.
Which is pretty awesome. I'm not ready to say that as of yet, but he is one they probably should be signing. Like, yeah. I put him up there, like Kevin Knight, Mariah May, those people that you sign before they blow up. That's what you want to do.
Yep. For sure.
We've also got Tom LaValle saying, give me ROH 10 p.m. on Fridays in the old Rampage slot. That's funny. I am doing the mod duties today, so we're going to go down there in order. We got Hannah Hewn saying, is Hook for real injured? No, you guys had said something about him puking, getting a concussion last week. It looked like it. It just amateur us looking at it.
Yeah. Obviously, we're not doctors, but if you watch enough NFL, you get to know what that thing happened, and later they said he had a concussion. So all these things are happening. We go, maybe. That's as much as we can do is, maybe, until they tell us. But it sure looks like things I've seen in the past.
Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. This weekend on Fightful and Fightful Select, we got so much content. We have me and Jimmy's predictions. We had the hump today. Rob Wilkins, Stephanie Chase with their predictions tomorrow. Grapsity on Saturday. I've got a post show both nights. And that's just what we've got here on YouTube, plus all the interviews. We dropped on with Joe Hendry just a few minutes ago from Vegas. We're going to have a bunch on Friday as well. And now let's talk about FightfulSelect.com, because right after Nick Khan said that thing about not benching people, I had a story about them benching a fellow named Omos who went over to Japan to get better and now is hanging out at the PC from what people told me. I'm going to have another update tonight. I was going to wait until after Dynamite to see what kind of update I should run. But we're going to have that. We're going to have a bunch of WrestleMania week news. We're going to have scoops threads. Saturday and Sunday, I'm going live those afternoons to do a Q&A. Alex will have Sour Graps reviews all weekend long. FightfulSelect.com, the best $5.99 in the business. Subscribe to the most aggregated wrestling website there is. Jordan says, top to bottom, a great show. If that's only how they ended the last pay-per-view, this kind of product on TV is why I can forgive AEW missteps more often than not. Well, we are definitely going to get into that, but the show itself, Alex, pretty damn good, I would say.
You could tell they wanted to associate this particular episode, the one where they broke the Nitro streak, where they broke the Nitro record, they wanted to associate it with good memories. They wanted to make sure to send the crowd home happy. They wanted to like, to, this was a lot of wish fulfillment for a lot of people. And honestly, when we'll talk about when we get to the main event, the fan service overbooking really reminded me of a lot of stuff that Nitro would do when they were on top. You know what I mean? Like, all the baby faces are out here to run off the NWO. Hooray for the baby faces. And people loved, ate that stuff up. It was kind of a thing that they would do. It almost became their trademark. So them doing that in the main event felt almost like an homage.
Because why are the heels the only ones smart enough to get involved? You know?
Exactly. Yep.
Zach Schimmel says, WrestleMania makes 8 years supporting Fightful. It's been a great ride. Thank you, Zach. We always appreciate you. And then Clear with the E says, what are your thoughts on Nick Khan saying no one in WWE stays at home? Dynamite was an all-timer tonight. It was an all-timer. Omos sat at home. Becky Lynch is sitting at home right now.
Is that like a technicality? Because I know they're sitting in catering. They're not sitting at home, but they're definitely, you definitely make them fly to a place where they're not used. You definitely make them do that. I would, if it were up to me, and you were just not going to use me for 6, 8 weeks or months in a row, I would rather stay at home than get on a plane and fly to a place where I'm not going to be used.
There you go.
That's just me.
Darren Walker says, any news on Anna Jay and Ty Mello? Why not on shows? I haven't heard of any injuries. AEW does tend to cycle people out more. Like, you have that. Now, there's a healthy balance there. Giving them 2 or 3 months off is one thing. When you get into a Miro, Scorpio Sky, Ricky Starks type of absence, that's where I think it gets egregious, and it's like, figure something out. But I haven't heard of anything regarding them. I haven't heard of any injuries. AEW just showed up on WWE on It's Mania Week. Oh, yeah, just showed up WWE. I mean, they had a show that is going to be remembered as one of the top AEW shows of all time.
Yes.
All time.
For sure.
It's Nartha says, I love AEW. Thanks so much for all the reviews. They help make work days fly by. Listen, by next Saturday, we will have been here like every night for 3 or 4 weeks. It's just wild how much stuff we got. That's the free stuff. We're like known as the paywall people. We got more free stuff than anybody out there. And we're glad that you all are joining us for it. We've got Brian more or less says amazing matches, awesome wild card debut, new champs, no more Jericho. 10 out of 10 show. You know, I think the only show that you could get that could match this, Alex, is the new Fozzy tour.
Yes. Yeah, that is everybody go out there and buy tickets to the Fozzy tour. Make them add more shows because the ticket demand is just so high. You know, wouldn't that be nice?
Where are you living now?
I'm in like northwestern Illinois, western Chicago.
You near Joliet, Illinois, Alex?
My sister-in-law lives over there, so I suppose I could, you know, step by and say hi if I was in the neighborhood. Why? What's going on over there?
I can tell you what's going on over there May 9th. Fozzy is going on over there. I will expense. I will pay for you and your lovely wife. I will pay for a babysitter. For the reveal of a Fozzy show.
Oh, boy.
I'll pay for the dinner that night. I could see myself sending Jimmy that expense bill, and he'd be like, you're gonna handle that one. We kicked off this show. Someone, B. Richmond says, Sean better watch his back. Bobby may spin. We'll get to that one. We'll get to that one, and I'll run a clip of it. But Athena versus Mercedes, Alex. I loved it. My only complaint is near the beginning of it, I wish that commentary would have laid out a little bit more instead of plugging stuff and promoting stuff. Just while these two look at each other in the ring and the crowd chants holy shit at them.
Yeah.
This was such a great match. Even the struggle for the tombstone had me when they yeah. messed up a little bit, and then Mercedes turned it into her lung blower type of move.
Yep.
Alex, let's get into this. Tell me what you loved and what you didn't love about this match, because I don't think there'd be a lot that you didn't love.
No, I loved it.
It was great. It was great.
So people who've been watching us talk about wrestling since the beginning, they remember one of the calling cards of our Raw review, which is, how does Ember Moon fit into all this? And the answer is that she just had to wait until she left that place and go here and then become the longest reigning Ring of Honor champion, male or female, ever. And then eventually, when they take her out of witness protection program on a streaming service nobody pays for, they actually put her on Dynamite and you get this match against what I think a lot of people would say is the greatest in-ring women's wrestler currently. And then you have Athena say, well, I'm 1 or 1A here. And they killed it. When they started first, I was like, I hope they give them 45 minutes. You know what I mean? Going first means we don't have to worry about, oh, we had you guys as the main event slot, but some stuff earlier went long. MJF cracked some jokes. And now we got to shave 3 minutes off your match. Mm-hmm. They said, no, we're starting you guys. You guys get as long as you want to turn in what, I mean, like, I'm sure I'm forgetting something that would like measure up, at least come close to this as the best women's match in the history of AEW television. And if you told me it was the best women's match in the history of AEW, including pay-per-views, I'd be like, I certainly respect your opinion. I'd have to go back and watch all the other matches that might come up and measure up to it. This was amazing. I loved that they just hit each other so damn hard. Like, it just felt like two of the greatest champions in the world fighting as hard as they could to prove that they were better than the other. That's what wrestling should be. At its absolute pinnacle, that's what wrestling should be. The best in the world fighting as hard as they can to prove they're better than the person across from them. This was outstanding. I have only one tiny minuscule quibble, is that it was obvious to me that that at the end Mercedes was pulling the tights, and from the vantage point where Aubrey was at, it needed to have been obvious to her.
Yes.
Otherwise, position yourself somewhere else so that you don't immediately see it. But that needs to be the sticking point from Athena's point of view. You didn't beat me. You survived by cheating and getting the fistful of tights. I want a rematch. And then she should say, and I'll put my ROH title on the line. And then she can beat Mercedes because her title's on the line and not Mercedes's. And then you can do a trilogy where it's all on the line. Like, do a fun thing like that. And honestly, you can do that if the next one is 4 months from now and the third one is 4 or 5 or 6 months after that. You absolutely have enough from this match is going to be legendary for both of them so that people, whenever they get number two, they will be anticipating it. It doesn't have to be a Double or Nothing or a couple of weeks after that. You can just hold off on this. The anticipation of a second match between these two absolute queens will be so excited when they get to see it again. My God, so amazing.
So, I mean, there were a lot of people that thought, well, why is this on a Dynamite? Why is this, you know, why isn't this main eventing? I think we saw why it wasn't main eventing
right
by the end of the night, which is okay. And again, when they do go back on pay-per-view, it's going to be big. It's going to be very big. I thought they did an incredible job. The vibe around this, the environment, the crowd was so good. For this show and for this match specifically, like, these are two talent in Athena, even with the absence of being on Dynamite, like, everybody knew how big of a deal it was. Yeah. And that goes a long way. Like, they've protected these women and they're in a situation now where they had this match. And I thought it was, I had mixed thoughts on it being, in the Owen, then I was like, well, it's clear they're not ready to end the title reign of Athena. Right. I know some people will look at that as like kind of cowardly. I get it if you feel that way. I understand that. But also, I look at it and I'm like, okay, this was a clever way to get this match happening and then to do it and not have a title change or anything like that. Yeah. I think it went just over 20 minutes as well, which I think one or two mm-hmm. women's matches ever have done.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, man. Incredible. Eloquent says, incredible venue. Looked amazing on TV. It really did.
Really did.
Fantasy booked the top three matches at All In. Omega Okada. That,
yeah,
pretty clear to me. Tony, I mean, it's Mercedes and Tony. They're yeah. very clear because Tony was up there watching her.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they've done enough to tease that it would be a major letdown if they did something like Athena screws Mercedes in her match versus Statlander.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, or Hater, I guess. But like, it feels like they're very heavily implying we're going to get the two top women in AEW facing each other at All In. And I guess the third one would be Will Ospreay finally becoming world champion. Like, how,
yes.
who, I mean, I'm assuming Moxley will still hold it then. Ospreay being the guy, not only to become world champion finally, but also being the one to end the reign of terror is a very good call. So I think,
yeah, those I are mean, the top three. I think they should have pivoted by now, but at this stage, yeah. might as well be Ospreay. And he right. carries it into Forbidden Door, does all the media with the title over his shoulder.
Yep. Yep.
Athena Monet got the Brian Kenny opening cheers. That's how yes, I felt too. Did. It yeah. got that similar reaction. Only women's match that I feel it was equal to this was St. Pat's between Rosa and Britt. That was a special match too.
That was a special, very special match. Yeah.
It's wild to see how much of like an afterthought they have become within the context of the company. And, you know, a lot of that falls on the yeah. booking as well, like in performances, but Rosa is always there and delivers, but mm-hmm. not where she once was. And I hope one day we see her get back. She's the type yeah. of person I think that a tag team division would really benefit, as she's already reached the mountaintop. Yeah. She's already had an all-timer match in AEW.
Yes.
And now yeah. it's like, well, what do you do? What do you do?
Right.
I'll tell you something you all can do. You can check out Bet Online. Bet Online AG. All of our odds that we've ever gotten from wrestling, MMA, boxing have come from Bet Online. We are so proud to be doing business with them. A lot of you guys are saying, wait, you can bet on pro wrestling? Yes, you can bet on pro wrestling. In fact, I've got it at a minus 200. This lawnmower outside my window isn't going to stop by the time I do this ad read. You hear that? I would have made some money at BetOnline AG with that prop. Go check out the BetOnline wrestling odds. That's the only ones you have ever seen on Fightful, because we only trust BetOnline AG. They're 25 plus years, their safe and secure environment, their high limits, their credit card acceptance is all unmatched. You can bet big with their rebet functionality as well. The earliest lines that you're going to find, whether it be wrestling, MMA, boxing, or other sports, Bet Online. Check them out. Bet Online AG, they've got their lines up for WrestleMania this weekend, obviously at Fightful Select. We're going to give you guys some more insight on those, some very, very close lines, regardless of what you might think of the WrestleMania build. There are a number of matches that are very, very tough to call on that show. And like the results are up in the air. Check it out. Bet Online AG. Jordan says, I'd rather buy eggs three times the price than Fozzie tickets. Well, buddy, you're already doing that. Now I need to see Alex cosplay as the painmaker to a Fozzie show. I want you to follow them around like the Grateful Dead in each of Jericho's gimmicks. Zach Schimmel says, Alex, I'll drop a 100 super chat if you go. All of that will go to Alex as well. We could start a pool. Like, that's the thing. I want us to make, like, crowdfund this to where it's not financially responsible for Alex to not go. I want it to get to a point where his wife, who does not watch this show, hears about it. Oh, man. I want awful announcing to be writing about this. That's what I want. Oh, Jesus, man. We got two of the best wrestling matches with Athena, Mercedes, Ospreay, Takeshita. It wasn't even a pay-per-view. They were cooking tonight. Alex, they were making some points tonight. It really seemed like.
They were. They really, they, and I think points made. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Points made. Like this is the they've eased up on using the catchphrase in recent weeks and months, but the "we're the best wrestle" thing, like when you put on Athena versus Mercedes and Ospreay versus Takeshita on the same night, like I feel like you're making the point that like this is not a catchphrase. It's true. We have the best here, and we let them wrestle to the fullest extent. We don't like put weird like little sorry, you get 8 minutes. We don't do that. We say this is you were giving you the full extent of what you can do. We're not going to say like, okay, well, in order to build this other feud, we got to have eight guys at ringside who are going to come in and mess everything up. Like we say, okay, like they do that with the Death Riders, I understand, but outside of the main prop thing,
yes.
And prop the thing, that ironic thing, what is the number one complaint everybody has about AEW almost uniformly is the overbooking and the craziness of and all the interference and all the stuff with the Death Riders. When you just boil it down to just let these great wrestlers wrestle each other for as long as it takes to tell the in-ring story and get to a great finish, I don't think there's anything that even comes close.
The crux of every great wrestling story, most, I should say, about 90%, is that at some point, somebody wins and loses, and that's what really matters. Because they're all going for, like, the same thing. And then you branch stories off there as well. James Zimmerman said, "Greatest Dynamite of the last 2 years, enough said. It was one of the best ever." One of the best ever, Jordan. Or one of the best ever. And Jordan says, "Holy shit, what a crowd and show. When AEW puts their foot on the gas, it's the best alternative wrestling fans were looking for. Best in the world." Yeah, this is specifically, this show is the type of thing that cultivated their audience and created their audience and all that. All that. Meet Norma says, "Athena Mercedes was a car crash since they beat the brakes off of each other. The power slam through the ropes on the apron was as good as $3 brisket." Dude, yeah. They had so many great spots. I loved them just locking up. And it was like two bulls if the bulls were like 120 pounds. Oh, and they wouldn't let go of each other. It was so great. Hey, it was incredible.
Kudos also to the agenting or the wrestlers themselves. What a couple of times, some really great uses of that elevated ramp. Like being able to, like, because you can't do the spot that we were just talking about of them locking up and going through the ropes and up the thing. You'd have to like go down the steps and then off the apron. It wouldn't look right. They just pushed through the ropes and kept going. Like that was great. And then we'll talk, I'm sure, about the Hangman spot. Like they were really utilizing that ramp to its absolute perfect options.
James Stalling says, "I know people say this all the time. This could really be a big stepping stone to really get hot. And no, not just because of passing WCW. It felt like a different show to me. This was treated like a different show. This wasn't your typical Dynamite. This was a pay-per-view show that was on TV is what this was." Yeah. And like, listen, last week, Collision did incredible numbers for Collision.
Yeah.
In their time slot. I've had a lot of people asking me about Thursdays. They seem to like it where they are because they benefit from the weekend sports thing. And they think that translates really well. I also got a comment from WBD recently. It's going to go in an article when I'm following up about viewership and all that. And they say that AEW from the figures that they've gotten has been steadily growing since the Max integration. We've got, Jam Beard saying, "Honestly, this might have been my favorite Dynamite ever. Crowd was hot all night. Every match was fantastic. That women's match is one of the best women's TV matches ever. Best Dynamite ever." It seems like a pretty common thing now that everybody's looking at this and saying, this is the top Dynamite that ever happened. And and people are also saying, $5 for Fozzy, $5 for Fozzy, $5 Canadian. Just ask me how much.
I don't go to concerts for bands that I like. This would be a crazy thing.
I might go to Creed in July. That would be funny. But Jordan also says, we already read that one. Amanda says, 10th AEW show I've been to, including two Grand Slams and Forbidden Door. I hope the volume and energy of tonight's crowd was accurate because Ospreay Takeshita was the loudest crowd in any of the shows I've ever seen. Well deserved. I loved what we saw there, and I can't wait to talk about that. Amanda, it translated. The intimate environments was something that I was begging for last year, Alex. Mm-hmm. Was begging for it. I'm so happy they're doing it. And now they're going to these intimate environments, and they're drawing like 100, 150 more people than they were in these big empty-ass venues.
Yeah.
It's becoming a very smart thing. So backstage, Hangman is there, and the Elite approach him. They're trying to guilt him for leaving them last year. And Okada is like, you should smile more. And then he calls Hangman a bitch. Hangman runs right back, and he's like, no, I just said smile more. That's all. That's it. This is entertaining seeing Okada like this. I want to see New Japan Okada. I want to see him.
Yeah.
Like, listen.
Yeah.
He ain't Naito level right now. People are like, "What, Sean, why are you saying Naito ain't going to WWE or AEW?" One, I don't think he can pass AEW or WWE's medicals.
Yeah.
And two, AEW don't want him. They've watched his matches the last couple years. They've seen that they're not good. With Okada, I'm still waiting for that just absolute all-timer of a match. He's had a couple good ones, want the all-timer ones, but the character works okay. What did you think of this backstage segment?
It was fun. The face-to-face with Hangman and Okada at the end was like, it made me wonder, and not less so now, after Hangman won the first round, but it made me wonder if maybe Hangman isn't in the finals of the tournament and his match Double or Nothing is versus Okada. Because I think obviously Okada retains there and it goes on to face Kenny at All In, but they've been teasing that Hangman doesn't like Okada thing and vice versa for months and months, maybe over a year now. And like, I want to see that match before we get to the Kenny and Okada thing, because I feel like that's going to be all consuming. Like, I want to see Hangman versus Okada. They specifically went back to the Hangman and Okada don't like each other well.
Yeah.
Right now. So it feels like they're teasing something. I don't know if it's going to be at a pay-per-view or if it's going to be on a Dynamite, but those guys are going to beat the tar out of each other, and I can't wait for it.
Then we get the wild card, FightfulSelect.com a couple months ago had reported that Josh Alexander was headed to AEW. And he got a good reaction. They immediately explained why he wears headgear, because he had to have his ear reattached.
No.
Great story to tell.
Yeah.
They told his history. For anybody that goes, are we supposed to know Josh Alexander? Yeah, and this is how. He has a great match that Hangman barely pulls out.
Yeah.
And the commentary did a really great job of educating you guys who it was. And in the grand scheme of things, and this is not taking anything away from Josh Alexander, this will end up being like the fifth most talked about thing on this show, which is why actually Notorious Mimi was on this show, and a lot of people seem to be talking about her. So maybe the sixth most talked about thing.
Maybe the sixth most talked about.
The sixth. But I thought this was a fantastic debut. Usually not in favor of losses in debuts, but this was really good. And Hangman is the main character of the company.
Right. I think that Alexander being here is perfect for him. He's such a great worker, and he's not AEW has a lot of like big bruisers and a lot of high flyers. Like this is the type of guy who I think should be mixing it up with Hangman, because he's another one of these guys who's a great worker. He's a mid-sized guy who can do a little bit of everything, but doesn't rely so much on. He's not Brody King and he's not Kevin Knight. He's this thing. He's an amalgamation of all the other stuff. I think it really works for him to have this jack of all trades guy here. I loved seeing him here. He was the guy I thought it was going to be. There was a point where I thought, well, what if we have Alexander win this because Hangman gets distracted by something? He gets angry about something. He's not quite over being this guy. Or Don Callis, we got a little bit of this later, but Don Callis said, I'm recruiting new people. And, you know, Kyle Fletcher doesn't want to face Hangman. He wants to face one of his new teammates. So, like, they get that involved as well. I thought maybe we're going to get that. Because you're right. I don't love people like Alexander debuting with a loss. People have debuted with losses. Kevin Knight just did. But Speedball Mike Bailey debuted with a win. Like, there are places where I think a debuting with a win is important. But if this immediately gets him from taking Hangman to his absolute limit to now filling out the ranks of Don Callis, I think that Josh Alexander starting there is a good place for him. It definitely gets him on TV. He'll wrestle high-profile matches. He'll be great in them. You know, there are things to do here. I also feel like it's time to maybe start moving some of the major parts of Don Callis away from him because they've outgrown him, frankly. So you need to replace him with other guys that he can then say, I'm going to put my thumb on this guy, and this guy's going to get the Don Callis rub. And if that's Josh Alexander, that's not a bad idea at all.
3-6 Latvia says, I want to thank the son of a car bumper manufacturer for my tickets tonight. Had a great time not heading to Vegas for Mania. Nothing but respect for the global holding company who finances it, owns the UFC, PBR, EuroLeague, among other things. Okay. I'm not going either. I'm very glad to be staying home. Nothing. Again, not making necessarily a stand against WWE. I'm making a stand against the plane ride there. Yeah. We've got Dave Langer saying, love the venue and how the fans were almost on top of the ring. Looked great on TV. The fans were on fire all night. That's why, again, the environment makes so much up of what is, well, what we see. Jan Beard says, finish to the show felt like WCW would beat the NWO in a big main event. Yes, this is something we're going to be talking about. I think that was intentional. I think it was a throwback for that reason. It felt like Luger winning the WCW title.
Yeah.
Amir says, Mercedes won in Boston. Athena gets her win back in her hometown at All In. I don't think so.
I think they're doing Mercedes and Tony Storm. But this is not the end of Athena versus Mercedes.
Yes. I think Athena is going to get a win there, though. Jambeard says, as a Canadian, desperately need AEW to hire Scott D'Amore to have a new Team Canada with Alexander and Speedball. I think that his strengths are in his booking and stuff like that, as opposed to the on-screen stuff, to me. That's how I feel. But we had Don Callis approaching, saying something to Josh Alexander, by the way. Mm-hmm. But we get the Hurt Syndicate defeating the Gates of Agony. Now, let me tell you something I love about this. Besides, you know, big sirloin beef, sons of bitches,
right,
slapping meat, bumping meat, grinding meat, just, you know, making those types of sounds, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Gates of Agony a couple days later, or a couple days ago, won a squash match. On ROH a couple weeks ago, they beat Come Tuesday and Dion Rushman in a quick match. I want to say a few weeks before that, they teamed with Top Flight. They won a match there as well. Mm-hmm. They beat Bad Dude Tito and Shea Cabrera. They won another match on ROH. They've won like 5 or 6 matches in a row. That's good enough for me. You get on a hot streak, you give them a title shot, I'm good with it. I think sometimes you need big sons of bitches beating each other up on a wrestling show, Alex.
100%. Yeah, this was really good, man. Gates of Agony is one of those teams that, like, you look at them and you go, okay, so what's not clicking with the people upstairs? You know what I mean? Because I think Khan can cut a great promo. And Toa Leota is a...
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Force of nature. Like, I feel like they've always, like, felt like these guys needed somebody else to be in charge of them. And I don't think that's the case. I think they're both really, really good in the ring. Again, Khan cut a great promo on Collision. Really good. So much nuance to it. Like, through, like, a frozen grimace, saying, like, Hurt Syndicate, guess what? We like to get hurt. Like, it was really good stuff. I liked that a lot. And Toa Leona, like I said, like, that dude's a freight train. Like, feels like I don't want to see these guys just now fade into obscurity. Like, figure out a way to get these guys doing something. I don't know if somebody needs backup. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying they're going to do this, but if it comes down to MJF basically says, okay, you know what?
Sure.
You're not going to let me into the Hurt Syndicate. I'm going to destroy the Hurt Syndicate. Like, these two guys feel like people that would actually benefit a lot from being in that level of a program, just being on TV, letting everybody see gradually how great they are. I really like Gates of Agony a lot.
So after this match, MJF comes out. He is trying to get the Hurt Syndicate on his side. What I love is that now that the crowd is loving him, it's consistent with his feelings prior, because he's wanted to be loved this whole time. He's addicted to being loved.
Sure.
And he's trying to make his case, and he's like, I got a lot of things to offer. And he compliments how Shelton looks. He tries to buy him off with a watch. And Shelton is very easily swayed. He's just like, yeah, I don't mind at all. I think the highlight of this was him saying, some people are way slower than others. And then Bobby Lashley chases him around the ring as MJF does the total internet troll thing when they get called out. I never said anybody's name. I never said anybody's name. And then he's like, by the way, I know a lot of attractive women.
One of which
I happen to know, Alex.
Now, the reason that Sapp is in the corner of Shaza McKenzie, they had a match a while back, and...
Oh, come on!
Never looked better.
Yeah.
Did Notorious Mimi.
Yeah.
Listen, I know there are people on both sides of the spectrum of this. There is Mike Schutt saying, while a great show, can't say it's best or a 10 out of 10 when it had that gross MJF segment. We've got Dante saying, counterpoint of the MJF segment, consenting adults and women getting paid is not a bad thing. It's subjective, of course, but it wasn't nearly as bad as past MJF segments. I know that you and I will be on completely different sides of this, especially considering that this person also is committing $100 to the Fozzie Fund. But I didn't have a problem with this. I get the feeling you probably did.
It wasn't ideal. You know what I mean? There are in professional wrestling history, there have been a lot of heels who have been like, I own these women and they will service you sexually on my command if you only do a favor for me. That's been a thing a lot. Yeah. And it was done in a time where we didn't be like, hey, sex work is work, which I'm totally down with, but I would have loved MJF to be like, you know what I respect? Sex workers. Because sex work is work. And like, if he had actually done the ironic, like, on their side thing,
that's a good point.
Fine, but it did feel a lot like, hey, here comes the ho train. And it just, like, that's a thing from 25 years ago that I thought we had left.
They seem pretty classy. It seemed like he invited them to a big event, a big fancy AEW Dynamite event to hang out with the champs.
Or was it not implied that because MJF, I am allowing you to spend time with these women who I own. Was that not implied by the way that I have paid for their services and I will then tell them to grant their services to you because of the money that I have? They're on my property, at least for the night, and I am granting them unto you. It just felt like it was implied without actually saying it, which again, depending on the context, might be all right. But it didn't feel like that necessarily to me. It just felt like a throwback to an era that I'm happy, Frank. It felt like a throwback to the days of Monday Nitro. It felt like there are maybe two or three steps between this and here come the lesbians. You know what I mean? Like that was a very specific time in Nitro and Raw. That
well,
I
to be
like
fair, they were named the lesbians as a group too. Like that was on their nameplate.
They were.
To me, it came more across like, hello, there are three of you wonderful studly championship gentlemen. Mm-hmm. And if you do want to hang out with me, I have way more lovely women that I hang out with that you all can also hang out with. Okay. Otherwise, I'll just hang out with them by myself.
Okay, cool.
That's how I got everybody is remembering the days.
Yeah, the days of the HLA. Yeah. perhaps, yeah. I don't want to cast aspersions on the time of day necessarily, but yeah, I get it.
Oh man. Well, what I did think was funny was immediately after that Alicia Toot interviews.
Yes. Yeah.
And they opt to party. They decide they're gonna hang out.
Right.
Yeah. But Glassdoor Gamer says WWE is acting like a monopoly again. Not a fan. No, they're acting like they want a monopoly.
Yeah.
That's what they're acting like.
Yeah, that's what they are acting like for sure.
That episode was orgasmic, says Glassdoor Gamer. Robert Anderson says, thank you for saving me money on Nord with every pay-per-view and on Fight. Here's some money. I'm a Max viewer, but now Nord is still great for pay-per-views. Well, not only that, if you don't want to watch commercials, during AEW Dynamite, you can get NordVPN.com/Fightful for 2 years and 3 months total, less than the price of 1 month of cable. And you can get Triller Plus or AEW Plus on Triller, change your virtual location, avoid commercials. If you want to watch WrestleMania this weekend, but you don't want to get Peacock,
right?
If you have Netflix, you're good to go. You can watch NXT, SmackDown, Raw, all that good stuff over there. Change your virtual location, NordVPN.com/Fightful. And it doesn't stop there. They got 24/7 tech support. So if for some reason you're not sure how it works, anything like that, even though it works on all your devices, works on all your operating systems, they're going to help you figure it out. They got a 30-day money-back guarantee, so there's nothing to lose. But it's not just that. Global server network, fastest VPN in the world, reliable encryption. They've got Threat Protection Pro. I've had all kinds of people hitting me up and saying these are things that I'm also using now as a result of Nord. They got a password manager, all that good stuff. Had someone hit me up the other day and say, Sean, if I just want to change my virtual location, which tier do I get? The basic bottom tier gets it done.
Yep.
You're good to go with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Robert, thank you for setting me up for a wonderful ad read. Shadow thought it was the whole trade. Mm. I mean, listen, that does lend to Alex's point. I didn't, but
somebody in the chat, and I apologize for not catching the name, said all they needed was a clip of them all hanging out backstage playing Jenga. Would you like to hang out with these ladies? Isn't necessarily sexual. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
It's them playing Fight Forever, and Shelton's like, you know, I didn't give this a chance when it came out, but it's actually really fun. It's great multiplayer.
Yeah.
Bobby White says, to Alex, I don't see the MJF segment as women bring property. I see it as the devil tempting the syndicate because MJF is the devil tempting them with women and gold. That's an interesting.
I mean, yes, I understand the biblical allegory, but they're not like But in that, a watch is the same as a woman, and a watch isn't a living, breathing being with her own, like, decision-making properties. It doesn't appear like that. None of it doesn't. We didn't see them all take a vote, and yes, whichever one of them chooses me, I'll be happy to do whatever they want. So it did just felt. When you've seen enough of these type of segments, I just lump them all together in my brain. And I think that necessarily it wasn't that, but it felt very similar to things we've seen in the past that I did not enjoy. That's all.
Jordan says, if not with MJF, Prince Puma and the Gates of Agony would look killer. Yeah, Ricochet with them would be... That's a really good one, Jordan.
I like that a lot.
Jordan's been on a roll today, I tell you. He's been on a roll. We've also got, let's see. Oh, he says, do you think, or Bobby White says, do you think Tony will sign Hammerstone and Holiday? MJF segments with Hurt Syndicate seem like it's going somewhere. Do you see them being a part of it or no? Hope they get signed by AEW. I would like to see them signed by AEW. I would like to see them there when things kind of, like when some of the roster thins out. But I don't think they are for this. I think they both should be signed.
Yeah,
I think WWE should sign them both. I think. On NXT right now, they are the best tag team. Besides Fraxium.
Yeah.
But I think they would be a top.
Somebody's got to beat Fraxium and send him to the main roster. Like, eventually, they're going to move up. That would be a great team to show up, beat the tar out of the little guys, and then they're going to go to the main roster and do running around fun stuff.
I think those two would be phenomenal in NXT as well. But, I don't think it's going to happen. I think MJF is going to join the Hurt Syndicate. I think that's what's going to happen. Yeah. Yeah. Dynamite Collision has been on a tear lately. Any idea if they're coming back to Canada would make sense for the Owen. I haven't heard that. I mean, they've got the Mexico plans now, which I think is great. That's going to be a big deal. I'm glad that they're doing that, but this super chat we just got is a pretty good one. But no, I haven't heard about Canada. I will ask. And Love for Boost says Caster coming out in a wig was a missed opportunity.
That's a deep cut for people who don't remember, who don't know the lore. But it would be a hell of an in gag. Yeah,
I've got to pass that one up the chain. That's well, if last week wasn't good enough for you, buddy.
I happen to have found your long lost sister.
You want to know what's funny? Max Caster treats himself like MJF's property on AEW content.
That's true. That is true.
Like, N. Simmons says, the show is so good that I'll be comparing Mania Weekend, especially if Collision is as good. Mercedes and Athena was outstanding. Don't think they went 100%. I know the Monet haters are mad. I'm sure they are. But also... Like, I think that they will, in the future, have their go 1 million miles an hour match, and it'll be completely different. These are two of the smartest women in wrestling history about constructing a match and getting people to react to things.
Yeah.
And that I think that they're really great at that. In Simmons, I don't even know what's all on tap for Collision right now. I need to look into that, but it's a good week here. B. Richmond says, Sean better watch his back. Bobby might spear him out of his shoes for throwing Mimi into a wall. Well, listen, it didn't win the match for Shaza. She still screwed it up, which is, you know, totally a Shaza thing. I did my job, but I don't know, man. Vicky, our great friend, says, hi, SRS and crew. Amazing show. Osprey rules. Yes, he does, Alex.
Yeah, he does.
Whoo, boy. Osprey and Takeshita. I don't know how to explain this besides an absolute humper, Alex. I mean, this was just denim on denim, dry humpage is what this was. You know, that's how this operated. We had a kick out of one from a hidden blade that people didn't even have time to react to. And rarely do I like things like that, but I stood up at my desk. And then I had to press the button on my desk to make it catch up to me as I was watching. But I was like, oh, this was phenomenal. I can't even begin to get into all the spots, Alex, but tell me your thoughts.
It's quite simply one of the greatest matches I will ever get to witness. It's just their match at Revolution last year, I thought was like an instant classic and the greatest we'd ever see them against each other. And then they said this one's better. The spot where it was like Will kicked out of Takeshita's big stuff at one, and then immediately ran up and did the hidden blade, which I've seen him do. I've seen him be like, okay, I kicked out of your big thing, and I hidden blade out of nowhere for the victory. And no, Takeshita said, I'm going to kick out at one now. And then the match went on for 5 more minutes. And all of that 5 minutes was amazing. Like this was the pinnacle. This was the absolute pinnacle of what AEW one-on-one just... It never felt like it was going too fast, and yet it was you could tell like it was a mile a minute, like it was just such great things between these two guys. Wow, God, the chemistry that Ospreay has with Takeshita is off the charts, and it's like that's not even the top member of the Don Callis family that he has chemistry with. Because that's Kyle Fletcher. Like this is that's crazy. This was absolutely phenomenal to the point where like they were doing stuff with Takeshita was doing stuff. I was like, is this one of those crazy like Will Ospreay says I want to lose this match?
Yes.
Nights. Like if he was like, no, bruv, I have this fantastic idea for a story that I will tell after losing in the first round, and that will get me to Forbidden Door where I will win the title. Like, is it one of those things? And honestly, I'm very glad they didn't do that because the play needs to be Ospreay winning a Double or Nothing and then winning the title at All In. But it's Ospreay has that Bryan Danielson gene where he's like, what if I lost though? That's a thing that was really enticing to both of those guys, the greatest wrestlers in the world who are the most selfless because it would be fun. And I that's why I could never trust Will Ospreay not to just decide I'm going to lose tonight. This was amazing. I also just, I thought Callis added so much on commentary and aside, before we continue to talk about this amazing match, the Don Callis impersonators at ringside are so great.
They're great.
And I have an idea that will make AEW $1 million easily. Sell at the merch stand Don Callis bald caps that people can wear to the ring. And they come with little cheap sunglasses you can wear too. But also have the bald cap be reversible. So one side is Ricochet and the other side is Don Callis.
Oh.
One side has the forehead scar and one side doesn't. Then you could wear them for all occasions. Honestly, I think it would be an amazing. Just have the entire front row be Don Callis impersonators. Watch him lose his mind. It'd be so great.
Tim McFall says using women as a bargaining chip sucks, but still an all-timer. Athena Mercedes Hempt. Will Takeshita delivered match of the year on TV. The D Riders finally lost, and Big Hobbs is the world champ. Hell yeah. Tim, you covered about everything on the show. I appreciate you for your super chat. I appreciate that so much. I mean, yeah, we're gonna be talking about this is more of a love letter to WCW, as AEW's Women Division blog says, than a shot at Nitro. Mm-hmm. And I will say this. I believe a lot of people were very mature about this situation, including one Eric Bischoff, who just posted a thing congratulating Tony Khan and AEW on passing that mark. And he said, I know that Tony put a lot of his own money into this and he puts a lot of his time into it. He says, I can judge the product. I just don't watch it that much anymore, but congratulations. He did what isn't easy. I really respect it. Eric Bischoff did that. Obviously, I've maintained a much better relationship with Eric Bischoff than many have, but that's the Eric Bischoff I know. That's the guy that I have experienced throughout my career. So very glad to see that, as well as the AEW audience and Bischoff's audience and them in general can be quite contentious. So I was very happy to see that. Vicky says, SRS, last super chat. I am the new Darby Allin. Listen, she's going through glass. She's going through everything. Vicky, I know you're fighting. We love you, and we always have your back. You always got people to talk to here in our Fightful community. Just thank you to all of you. Got to make it to All In for Sting. I hope you will. You will. I know that you're fighting. I know you're kicking ass, Vicky. Mm-hmm. I know you're going to keep doing great stuff. Yeah. We love you so much. I keep meaning to send you something too, Vicky. I'll try to get on that after Mania week. But yeah, we love you here, Vicky, and we appreciate you being here as always.
Yeah.
We got Tronin saying Ospreay Takeshita was a match of the year contender. Yeah, 100%. It was unbelievable.
If it's not on your top five list at the end of the year, I don't know what's surpassing it.
And you know, I do see a lot of people like shitting on the match and selling and all that. And I'm like, guys,
come on, like.
You know what's wild? I've seen three people that have shit on it. In their replies is a Cody kicked out of the Burning Hammer in like all caps type of reaction, and people are excited about it. I'm like, guys, you can like what you like and don't like what you don't like, and I completely respect that. But
sure.
Whew. So Hook, we don't know exactly what's up here, but things didn't look so hot last week, right? Like things didn't look so great. And they have a replacement, and it's Will Hobbs. Fantastic replacement. Now, before we get here, I want to talk about the issue that I have with the Trios titles. And people in AEW tried to rationalize it to me.
Yeah.
And say it was similar to the Bang Bang Gang. It wasn't. They stripped the Bang Bang Gang of those titles last year.
Yes.
And the line of thinking tonight was, well, Moxley is not a Trios champion unless he wins tonight. Okay, I could get with that. I can get with them freebirding it and doing that.
Okay.
I'm okay with that. But there are two ways to get there. On commentary, Excalibur says, we heard the reception last year. We've decided to retcon that decision. It was not a good one. That is one continuous reign now. That's how we're going to do it moving forward. Or the Young Bucks say, tough shit, guys. Mm-hmm. We make the rules, and this is the rule.
Yeah.
Did either of those happen and I miss it? Or did
No. They did mention that that Jon Moxley said that it was his prerogative as world champion to be able to step in and help out his faction.
Sure.
And I don't necessarily love the word prerogative, but he's got stroke. He's the world champ. He says, you're doing this. I'm doing this. And like, okay. Yeah, we'll let you do this. I did like the idea of that. This is basically for the open Trios championships. And yes, they are the champs, but without Pac, they're not necessarily the champs. However, if they win this match, they're the new Trios champs. And Moxley just steps in. But that was not made clear on the broadcast as far as I could tell. And my thing was, you never gave Juice the opportunity to do that.
Exactly.
You never gave Juice the opportunity to wrestle a match with the Guns, and if they won that, he was now one third of the new Trios championships. And I also, if it's a faction with more than three dudes in it, and then the Trios champs, any three of the four or five can wrestle a title match. Just that should be a standard thing with it. With the tag champs, maybe not, like the way the New Day would freebird the tag titles. Maybe that's not a thing you want to get into. But with the Trios titles, that could just be like a standard thing.
Juice did get the opportunity last year. They just lost it to the Patriarchy, which made me go, well, why not just keep it on them anyway?
Right. Yeah.
It was so strange. I didn't understand it. I didn't get it. But this match was a lot of fun. But this was all about Swerve making the save, Willow making the save. This, you know, if Jon Moxley fancied his story as AEW's Bloodline, this was a lot of that. This is what this was.
Yeah. This felt like it. This
and everybody stood tall at the end, and like Speedball's out there, Osprey's out there, Dark Order's out there. It felt like they were really celebrating this. Like it really meant something to these people.
Yeah, that's one thing that I liked about it is that it doubled as a celebration for being the longest running non-WWE, you know, thing. Yes. Like this, you know, the longest running Turner thing, beating Nitro's record. Yes. It felt like it was that and this. We get to celebrate that as well as celebrating that the Death Riders are no longer running everything around here. I thought it was an inspired choice to have Moxley be the one choked out in the Coquina clutch. Like, didn't have to do that. I wonder if that gets like, maybe that's a match that Moxley successfully defends in before he loses the title to Ospreay. Samoa Joe.
That is a justifiable champion challenging for a title without a singles win thing. If you choke out the world champion to that level, I think that should be something.
Also, Samoa Joe is a former world champion in this brand, in this company. He should be able to say, I want a title. I choked out that dude. He's the champion. I'm a former champion. I want that. I feel like they would give it to him. I honestly love this because it was also all of the Death Riders stuff come home to roost. You know what I mean? Like, regardless of the stuff with Hook and how hurt he is and all that kind of stuff, it is thematic of what they have done their entire time. We don't want to face you or you. We're going to take you out before the match. They've taken people out backstage all the time. They did it to Jay White, quote unquote, to take him out of the tournament. We didn't see it happen because it happened during a match. But like in kayfabe, they took him out because they didn't want to see him down the line versus Jon Moxley. I mean, they didn't say this, but I wish they had. In the C2 in 2023, Jay White pinned Jon Moxley. Like, that should be a thing that Jon knows he's got that in his past, does not like that, and wants to get rid of him. So what do? They take out Hook. Now you guys can't compete against us because there's only two of you. And they said, we're going to do it anyway. Okay, fine. 2-on-3, that'll be great. Oh, no. You took out Hook. We went and got Hobbs. Yeah. We wouldn't have had Hobbs on our team if you hadn't made the mistake of taking out Hook. Their actions led to them losing the trio's titles because Hobbs was running everybody all over the place.
Yes.
Like, I love Hook, but Hobbs was just like, I'm going to take you out and you out and you out and like beat up everybody. That was a really good way of having the Death Riders honestly, accidentally agent themselves into the loss.
I loved it.
Really good stuff.
Jared says Hobbs and the Ops reminds me of peak Suzuki Goon. I like that comparison an awful lot. Doesn't this mean Joe is a second Triple Crown winner after Kenny?
I think it might be. I mean, if that's what they're calling Kenny.
Because he's held the world title. He's held the trios. And what else?
He's the Triple Crown. He won the trios. He won the world title. He was the TNT champ for a bit. He's that thing with Wardlow.
Oh, my gosh. So he's a Triple Crown winner.
I think Kenny's a Grand Slam champion because he's done world title, international title, tag title, trios titles. He's a Grand Slam, but Joe is definitely a Triple Crown.
And Jam Beard says the same thing, Triple Crown champion. Awesome. AEW also had Joe sub in for Cole with the tag titles during the MJF story, didn't they? Yeah. To me, vacating off the Bullet Club was just such a weird, unusual, odd decision last year.
Yeah.
The decision this year made all the sense in the world. It's just when you compare it to what they did last year,
right?
It's not real. Like, script it. Get Excalibur on the microphone and say, we listened to your complaints last year. We have revised the history books. Yeah. It's okay. I would be stoked if New Japan came along and said, yeah, I know we did a bunch of silly shit with our titles, but we're going to combine the lineages. If Triple H was just chilling one day during an interview and he goes, oh, yeah, by the way, you know that championship that Gunther holds? It's very clearly inspired by the big gold belt. It is the big gold belt. It's connected to the World Heavyweight Championship and all that stuff. Same lineage. I'd be completely fine with that. They script it. They decide it. They make the rules. Kaza says, why did Excalibur stop himself from mentioning IWGP Championship when referring to Hobbs' injury? This is a good question that I do not have an answer for, but I'm going to ask about it. Yeah. I haven't heard of any beef between AEW and New Japan, if that's what anybody is getting at. I mean, I don't know what New Japan's going to look like in 2025 to 2026 with a lot of the talent they're losing, but I mean, they lost Naito this year, Okada last year, technically Ospreay and Switchblade the year before. That's tough, man. That's tough.
Yeah.
Irene says, amazing dynamite tonight. Athena, Mercedes, and Ospreay Takeshita both more than delivered. Fun Alexander debut, and the Ops as Trios champs rules. I really like the Ops as Trios champs.
And Hobbs fits into that whole aesthetic so well. Like, him standing flanking Samoa Joe with a Shibata-san there who can choke you out and kick you to death. Like, it's just, it's great. And then and when Hook is healthy, like, let it be the... don't remove Hobbs from it once Hook is back.
Yeah.
That foursome is really cool to look at. They've all got different styles, but they all fit in like, we're going to kick your ass. But this just let, I honestly feel like that could be a really great faction in the upper mid card to the main event scene of AEW. They'd be all great together.
And assuming and hoping Hook's okay and all that stuff. Reverie says, Hobbs with the Ops is something I didn't know I needed, but something that now it's happened. I hope he's a permanent part of the group moving forward. I want to see Hook face-to-face with Hobbs and us wonder, like, is Hook jealous? Is he mad? And then Hook's like, I would rather it be somebody that I know and care about like you, because they came up together with Team
That's
Taz.
That's right, they did.
Like, they spent time together. Like,
that's right.
His dad put his stamp on Powerhouse Hobbs. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind that like being a thing. Like they even said, who should we go after? And they said, Hobbs, that's who it should be. New Lack City sends a humper chat. Thank you so much. He says, what's up, guys? Was not crazy about last week's Dynamite, which felt like a punt. Seemed like an eternity ago. The collision was awesome. And today was an all-timer Dynamite. That crowd was 2019 AEW with how hot it was. It added to the show. Yeah, Collision this past week is good. Collision has been on a hot streak, man. It's been
that the angle they're running with FTR is awesome. I miss them being like absolute bastards.
Speaking of, Christian approached Nick Wayne backstage. And I really think we are leaning into getting the heel Christian babyface cope versus FTR. It's like, and it's a story I've always wanted. The who can I find that can out piece of shit these two pieces of shits? Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, wait, I teamed with one of the biggest pieces of shit for a long time.
Right.
And that's largely what it was. It was Christian saying, daddy's home. Hope you had fun.
And I also liked that he said, I got you that spot in the best of Super Juniors. I did that for you. So now you got to start winning. Tomorrow you get Commander for the ROH TV title. Go out and impress me. And then Nick Wayne is going to go out and he's going to have an amazing match, but he's going to lose. And that's going to piss off Christian even more. It's a really good. I also love him walking away and Mama Wayne trying to like comfort her boy. And he goes, Shayna. And he goes, she goes, I got to go. And it was, that was great. I loved it.
It was good. She's really been good very stuff. Good.
Yeah.
Stopped watching AEW for a bit. Where's Danhausen? Chilling at home. His contract's up within a few months. He has not been back since ROH Final Battle. He was another person I pointed out when people said, why don't you ever criticize AEW? I do all the damn time about people like this. Yeah. They still use him for merchandise, though.
I know. Crazy.
Tom LaValle says, now get Hobbs a flipping towel.
Yeah, he needs the towel. He got to be a part of the group.
Wrapping up, guys. Get your super chats and humper chats in. Love for Boost says, I'm bald and had a scar from my cousin throwing a shovel off a roof and catching it with my forehead. Oh,
that's gnarly, dude.
First off, how far did he throw it?
Oh man.
Bro.
Why was the shovel on the roof, bro? Like that's the first question.
What were you shoveling?
Why were you throwing? That's nuts. Wow, that was awesome. That's a crazy story.
Honkin' Amazing says, I was there. It was great. Happy y'all enjoyed it. I did enjoy it. And I enjoyed you guys being here for so much for the really the last couple weeks. Like, we've had our biggest subscription jump in a long time. I've taken a bigger hand in marketing and all that. We got some great videos, but for the next like week, you want to stay locked to Fightful. We're going to have interviews from Vegas. We're going to have post shows, and this gentleman is going to be over on Fightful Select. Before I let you talk about that, Adam Legend says, love the moment of Joe giving Hobbs his trios belt. So acknowledgement of their TNT title feud as water under the bridge. That is a phenomenal point.
Great stuff.
That is a phenomenal point, Adam. Yeah. I really like this. Yes. Play off of that history. Bring that up in promos coming up. I want to see that. Also, this weekend, Jeff Hawkins is back on Fightful hosting the WrestleMania post shows with me. And then I don't usually have a co-host for Mondays. It's not a permanent thing, but Andrew Baidala is going to join me because I fear I will be on fumes and I am not going to miss Raw after Mania. Alex, tell the people what you got going on.
Well, first, I wanted to mention that MJF tweeted out about 5 minutes ago, respect sex workers. So he understands. He gets it. And I'm happy to see it.
I love this dude. This guy.
You can find me over on Fightful Select reviewing the final hour. Watch along the final hour of the WrestleMania SmackDown. I don't know what the main event is. Probably going to be Profit. Well, actually, the main event in ring will be Profits versus MCMG. But of course, the final segment of the night will be people talking about something. But we'll be talking about the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and all that kind of stuff over there on Saturday on this very channel for the matinee for the I believe that starts at 8 a.m. local time. The NXT show, that's the matinee. We're going to be reviewing that here. And then immediately after that, we're going to be watching Night One of WrestleMania and Behind the Paywall. If I have selectively me and Kate reviewing that show, then of course Sunday night as well, reviewing that, then back Monday night reviewing the Raw Mania, then back Tuesday night reviewing the Tuesday NXT in Vegas, the Tuesday at night after Stand and Deliver, and then Wednesday night we'll be back here doing Dynamite. So I have my last night off in a week. Tomorrow night I'm just gonna sleep. I'm just gonna sleep because I'm not gonna sleep this weekend. So
had the hump today. Again, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. In addition to scoops, threads, and a whole bunch of exclusive news that everybody else uses to supplement their Twitter accounts, I got two live Q&As this weekend. I looked at everything and I was like, man, I should just go live Saturday and Sunday afternoon for a while, hang out with you guys. We just signed a deal with TikTok. We're going to be streaming live over there, figuring out how that goes on. We are adding so much to Instagram and Facebook. Follow us there. Alex, you undersold the MJF tweet. Is respect sex workers. Yes. Hashtag we hurt people.
Yes. Yes.
Which is important to note. Guys, I have an interview
with... Enjoy your night out, gentlemen.
Yes.
And then he says, hashtag we hurt people. So, yeah.
Check out my new interview with Izzy. You guys are going to be shocked. If you haven't listened or seen anything of Izzy's in a long time, you're going to be shocked by the poise of this girl. Very, very impressive. And we just got a ton of stuff. We got shorts, we got videos, we're all over the place. Until next time, we're out.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.